And hello, everyone. This is Cameron Marceau with the Black Clover Project, Monster in Glass podcast, doing another classic slash forgotten cocktail. Joining me again today is Jason Cruz, the Black Clover Project historian, who has done research on today's cocktail, which is the coffee cocktail.
And I will start off by saying, when you mentioned the coffee cocktail, my first word was gross. Because I don't want to drink coffee with my cocktail.
The Irish coffee.
That's not a cocktail, though. That is just... Oh, geez. Cream liqueur and coffee. That's just basically spiking your drink. I don't know. This sounded gross. But anyway.
But there's no coffee in it.
There's no coffee in it. That is one of the interesting things. So the origin of this cocktail, as Ted Hayes says, it's in the 1887.
Ted who?
Haig, whatever.
He keeps saying Hayes. He's not Hayes.
I'll call him whatever I want. He gave himself his own name, so I'll call him whatever I want. So what he says is it's the 1887 edition of The Bartender's Guide by Jerry Thomas. So what's interesting is that it doesn't show up in his original book from 1862. That kind of dates it between somewhere 1862 to 1887. He had come up with it. His is the earliest, so it's possible it existed in another incarnation before that. Somebody else came up with it, but they never wrote it down. But by all evidence, Jerry Thomas created this drink. The only other person it could have been would have been Harry Johnson, his book from 1882, that would have fallen somewhere in the time period, but it doesn't show up there. So
okay.
Let's just say, for all intents and purposes, it's Jerry Thomas who created it. One of the things that's in the recipe from the Jerry Thomas book is that he says, the name of the drink is a misnomer, as coffee and bitters are not to be found among its ingredients, but it looks like coffee when it's properly concocted, and hence probably its name. And what I got from that is that Jerry Thomas actually didn't create it. If you read what he's saying, is it sounds like somebody who heard about this recipe, put it together and threw it in his book, but really has no idea where it came from, but he didn't attribute it to anybody else. So it does actually sound like somebody else created it.
Okay.
But that's hard to verify, since his book is really known as the first cocktail recipe book.
Yeah. Actually, just looking at the ingredients, it looks like it could be a colonial cocktail, in the sense that there's brandy. Brandy was something that people drank. Usually it was more the people who had a little bit more money.
Sure.
Eggs. They used eggs like crazy in their drinks.
Yeah.
Sugar. And then you have ruby port. Wine. Again, wine wasn't something that every man had, but they would have had access to that, I think. Basically, these ingredients are kind of old world in a way.
I could definitely see what you're saying. By the way that he's saying it, and so let's say he put this book together roughly around the 1860, because then it gets published, it's 1862.
Yeah.
It comes out somewhere before then. It certainly could come from a long-standing recipe. And if what you're saying, I mean, is true, you're probably right. It comes from an older time. It gets passed just down. Nobody's writing it down.
By older time, it could have been like even 1820.
Sure. Yeah. You know?
Maybe some things like port were a little bit more available. Maybe brandy, more people were drinking it.
Yeah. Other recipe books that I found that talked about this drink, one called The Hoffman House Bartender's Guide. Basically, they just lift as Ted Egg. I'm going to call him Ted Egg. Ted Egg lifted is the exact text from it. So what you see is copyright didn't mean shit. They didn't care about.
No.
They took the recipe, took the content, and just said, it's in my book now, too. And so you start to see the same thing, the same exact language about how it's a misnomer. That being said, you know, as we were saying, it's probably older. Honestly, eggnog isn't too far from this recipe.
That's Middle Ages.
Right. So
we're talking like 10th century.
It's similar to something called the Brandy Sangaree.
Oh, that's colonial.
And Brandy Toddy, which were also colonial. Yeah. Toddies were colonial.
We have not done a sangaree, and I'm kind of interested to try it.
So this one that I found, and this is in the same Jerry Thomas book. It's from the 1887, but it's similar, the Brandy Sangaree. Half teaspoonful of fine white sugar dissolved in a little water. One wine glass of brandy. Fill the glass 1/3 with ice, shaved ice, and then pour port wine on top and a little grated nutmeg.
But it doesn't have the egg. The egg
it
is...
It doesn't have the egg. But these ingredients... I mean, that's what I'm getting at, is the ingredients aren't too far off for me. All of these drinks with the egg and the nutmeg and the brandy.
That's what they had. That's all they had. They had They had beer, cider.
Oh, yeah.
Nutmeg, milk, eggs. You know, you find, like, different, you know, permutations of those ingredients, like, forming different drinks.
Yeah, absolutely. And that sort of gets at what you're saying, that it's probably an older drink that was just passed down. By word
or was slowly, like maybe it is something else that slowly became this with the port wine and maybe the brandy. I don't know.
Well, the brandy sangria had port wine in it. So
yeah, exactly.
Port itself, I think, is way older than colonial. I want to say that it goes back to Europe and because. And I'm basing that on no actual evidence in front of me.
So this would be more of a, I mean, with the port wine though, I think it would be more of an upper class kind of beverage because
possibly.
Generally speaking, according to my friend Kristen Burton, who I've spoken to and asked on in passing, you know, on the Twitterverse, she has kind of given me the sense that wine was something that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson drank. Though I'm sure they loved their ale too, but like that it was more for people of a higher station. And the lower classes were drinking the applejack, the cider,
and cocktail,
the rum. Eventually rum became something that they could get too.
Right. You know, I can't say for sure. I'd have to look into where port wine. My memories kind of put it at something that came from Europe. But based on all of this in this discussion, it's probable that it came from some colonial recipe, and it just evolved over time. You know, you throw in more ingredients. You go, hey, I'm a bartender. I'm going to throw some port wine in this.
And as time moved on, you know, the ingredients could have changed. More people could have had access to wine.
Yeah, and actually, even after that, I mean, this recipe shows up in a number of places. So from 1895 to 1922, have variations on this drink. So something, there's a book called Modern American Drinks, How to Mix and Serve All Kinds of Cups and Drinks from 1895. It calls for 2 dashes of Angostura bitters and a twist of lemon peel. Now, what's interesting about that is that traditionally, if you read these books and if you look at what cocktail gurus now say, is that it is not a cocktail unless it involves bitters.
Yes. Yeah.
And so based on that one, it actually makes it a cocktail rather than just a alcoholic beverage in the Jerry Thomas. So that's
and for our purposes, we're saying any mixed beverage.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't give a shit if it's mixed with. If you're mixing a lot of ingredients, does it matter if it has bitters in it? But you know, I guess the people who are going to be very literal about it, that's what they do say. So I noted that because I was like, oh, it's the only one that actually has bitters in it. I don't know if that makes it taste worse or better. I don't know why you put lemon in it. The other ingredients don't seem to match with the lemon, but hey. Another one from 1933 called the Merry Mixer or Cocktails in Their Ilk. Recipe calls for a dash of Curacao and uses the yolk instead of the whole egg. It just only uses the yolk. Then the Lewis Mixed Drinks and Hints for Care and Serving of Wines from 1906 calls for three drops of creme de cacao.
Cacao!
And then Cocktails, How to Mix Them by Robert of the Embassy Club calls for the yolk of a new-laid egg instead of an old egg. And they also call it the Laws Cocktail.
Hmm.
So
a new-laid egg?
A new-laid egg. So maybe they had chickens in the bar. It was like, lay that egg. I need to make
he's just grandstanding cocktail, is right? What it is. You know, it's like a new-laid egg.
I found a couple of newspaper articles where they talked about the coffee cocktail. So this one's from the Detroit Free Press, January 23rd, 1899. It says, the man who enjoys a good new drink went not long ago to Boston, and since his return, he has been serving his friends with a new concoction he calls a coffee cocktail, because it resembles coffee in appearance. That is, coffee with a lot of rich cream in it whipped for the top. It tastes like coffee, too, only coffee never yet produced the high state of exhilaration that a coffee cocktail does. So, this is 1899.
It tastes like coffee?
According to this newspaper article, I wouldn't give that too much credence. Some of these newspaper articles, when they're talking about bartenders and their cocktails, they're pretty fantastical in the way that they describe them. That they're wacky characters who run down the street and come up with cocktails on the spot and run into bars. And I think that'll come with a later cocktail. Thomas has recipes for creating cremes, liqueurs, and syrups out of coffee. So just to take a sidestep, you know, scald a coffee cocktail. Aside from that newspaper article, it really is just, it sounds like it doesn't taste like coffee. It kind of looks like coffee is really where the name comes from. But that Harry Johnson has something called Soldier's Camping Punch, which actually does use coffee in a cocktail.
And somehow this sounds scary.
It sounds terrible. And it was actually for soldiers. And it makes sense to keep
you warm. Wait, it sounds terrible?
It sounds terrible.
I think we must have some.
It probably. Boil a kettle of strong black coffee, take a large dish, and put 4 pounds of lump sugar over it. Over this. Then, pour 4 bottles of brandy. This is for a lot of soldiers. Just, this isn't,
yeah, it's, you it's know,
sitting around and drinking.
Yeah, they'll have it. They'll have it in a crystal bowl.
Right.
With lots of little dainty cups.
They're drinking it out of their helmets.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 bottles of Jamaican rum over the sugar, and then set it on fire. Then let the sugar dissolve, drop it back into the coffee, stir this up, and you have good hot punch for a soldier on guard. Wow.
Okay.
They're probably warm, but they're probably going to fall asleep. Not a good punch for a soldier on a guard.
Soldiers were constantly drunk. Back before...
I guess if you add the coffee, then it will keep them up.
Yeah, that, yeah, you've got your stimulant. So it's coffee, brandy, and sugar?
It is.
And what else?
Coffee, sugar, brandy, Jamaican rum.
Holy shit. I forget, I didn't notice.
And you're boiling it, too. So, I mean, it's... maybe so, that dilute, you know, burns off some of the alcohol.
Yeah, the alcohol's going to evaporate.
I got to say... I mean, I feel all warm just thinking about it. So, in a winter time, if you're on the... This was from 1882.
That actually sounds like something that will put hair on things.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
I was thinking the same thing, mm-hmm. but it'll make you a soldier.
Yeah. It'll put hair on your balls.
Drink this concoction. It has so much alcohol and sugar in it and caffeine.
Yeah.
You'll never sleep, but you'll want to.
Yeah. You'll want to die.
Your body won't know what to do.
And that's perfect if you're a soldier.
I found something else that was kind of interesting where they mentioned the coffee cocktail. Now, I should say that when they're mentioning it in newspaper articles, it's hard to say what exactly they're talking about when they say a coffee cocktail. It could be something they just made up. It might not actually be the recipe. But this is a newspaper article for getting rid of headaches with cocktails.
Hangover.
From here. Cocktails, yeah.
Okay. Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog, exactly. So they say Charlie Mason, the mixologist at the Palace Bar, suggested the following. Wait until the next morning if you think you can live, and which was great. And when you get up, drink a lot of hot water. That acts as a flusher. Then take any one of the following mixtures. Malted milk, a coffee cocktail, a soda cocktail, an absinthe frap, which sounds... horrifying and delicious. Bromo seltzer with a dash of phosphate, a morning glory fizz, which also sounds really weird. Morning glory fizz. It sounds
like dreamy. An afternoon delight or something, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like...
Or best of all, a good big stiff drink of straight rye whiskey. So it's kind of all over the place. Yeah. It's like, hey, try these other things, this coffee cocktail. Or you could just drink a whole glass of whiskey and yeah. get rid of your hangover.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, that just means you're drunk again. You right. know, it's like...
It's probably also like...
When was this written?
This is from December 26, 1897. Because they're talking about after Christmas.
Okay.
When you are wasted the yeah. next morning, mm-hmm. you should drink this. They actually... By the 1950s and 60s, there are coffee cocktails. They actually have coffee in them. And, you know, sometimes it's brandy or rum. It doesn't seem to be connected to the actual original recipe. It just seems to be...
Yeah.
You know, people were like, hey!
Hey, we have this...
I can put booze in this coffee.
Yeah, leave it to people to put booze in more things. So that's the story.
That's the story.
Okay, so now we're going to go try it.
the coffee cocktail. 1 ounce Christian Brothers brandy. 1 egg. 2 to 3 ounces Sandman Ruby Port. 1 teaspoon sugar.
And here we are at the Brixton. So, we're going to taste a cocktail. Rachel Rubin, do you like coffee?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How do you like it?
I like lots of stuff in my coffee. I usually put heavy cream and some kind of like coffee syrup in it. And in the last couple days, I've been making bulletproof coffee, which is coffee with butter and coconut oil blended into it.
Okay, so it's like nothing like coffee.
It's like super creamy coffee.
Do you really drink coffee or do you drink caffeine?
I really like coffee, but I really like caffeine.
Okay. And Bethany Lang, hello. Do you like coffee?
I do very much so. I didn't start drinking coffee until I was like 25. I was a tea person all the way, and then I gradually went from like really sweet drinks, and now I drink my coffee black. So it has to be good. Although I do really love Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yeah, that's where I go. Do you drink Starbucks?
Do I drink Starbucks? I think Starbucks tastes like burnt.
Yeah, I can't. I literally cannot drink it.
I will drink their fancy frou-frou stuff every once in a while, but like a latte or something, it just doesn't taste very good.
Yeah, I agree.
Rachel homemakes whipped cream with heavy whipping cream to put in her coffee, and I tried it, and it was amazing.
So your gateway was tea?
Yes. All different kinds. Like I was pretty intense about it.
I would not be a good Captain Picard because yeah. Earl Grey gives me a tummy ache.
Oh, really? Why? I love Earl Grey. Vanilla creamer.
Nicole is squinching her face and agreeing Earl Grey is bad.
I do not like bergamot. I like my tea to taste like tea, not like flowers.
Well, oh. And Jeremy Phelps, do you like coffee?
Absolutely not.
You're not a coffee drinker. Aren't you a developer, a programmer?
As far as they tell me, yes.
Isn't that a staple for programmers?
Not this one. No, see, the problem with coffee is that it tastes like coffee. Nobody's noticed this, apparently, that it's awful.
Actually, I think I agree, and that's why what I drink is nothing like coffee.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. With tons of shit in it.
You drink sugar with, like, coffee on the
yeah.
side.
Yeah, I drink caffeine.
Yeah. No, I'm convinced that coffee is what it is I think... So you've seen fossils, and you saw Jurassic Park, right? Like, so it's like fossilized dinosaur turds, like, ground up, and then you run hot water over it, and then pretend that you like it.
Dirty bean water.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really too bad.
And Nicole Pizzini.
Hi there.
Do you like coffee?
I do, and you'll never guess who makes a really good cup of coffee.
Jeremy.
So I may hate coffee, but I do love my wife.
How do you drink it?
If it's like a nice, fancier roast or bean, I'll drink it black. If it's shit coffee, I'll add a bunch of like almond milk or something.
Black coffee is horrible.
If it's good coffee, it should taste like stuff.
That's an oxymoron. That's like trustworthy politician.
It's like good
beer. Or like fast-paced baseball. Like it doesn't...
You know how you love scotch and you get really mad when we mix it with something?
Don't do that.
That's how like really nice fancy coffee is too.
Yeah, but scotch tastes good.
I mean, I will say, having been on both sides of the coffee fence, it is definitely, it took me a very, very long time to develop a taste for it. And even then, I was kind of dragged kicking and screaming. I really didn't.
I used to drink the dregs of coffee from my mother's coffee cup. And I used to hate it. I was, you try to be like a grown-up or something and drink the grown-up drinks. But then there's the coffee grounds. And when you're, like, real little, you don't know that they're not drinking the coffee grounds. Like, this is nasty. This is horrible. Why are you drinking sand?
I love coffee so much. I can't have a day without coffee. Just because it makes my life so much better.
It's a real great mood booster, for sure.
Like, it makes everything full of, like, unicorns and rainbows and sunshine.
Could you imagine before people realized what they were drinking and didn't know that they were being affected emotionally? Like, what they were thinking, they were like, oh my god, everything is... Somehow everything is perfect.
I mean, I'm sure they were able to associate cause and reaction.
There's been studies that say that drinking coffee can actually help with depression in women. I'm a much better person since I started drinking coffee regularly. And that's just anecdotal evidence, but it's for sure true. I'm a much better person. I'm much more even keeled because I have a cup of coffee every day.
And Cam, you're talking about humans who aren't as well studied. When I was in college, I was only just starting to drink coffee. And I'd have afternoons where it's like, everything is wonderful and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But even I would soon realize that, oh right, I drank a cup of coffee today.
Well, I mean, there's also a theory that they're that has been put out that when coffee became popular in Europe, it was around the same time that people were reading Marx and coffee shops were opening up. And instead of sitting around drinking alcohol all the time because that's what you had to drink to not die, people were drinking coffee because it was boiled and so the water was safe. And so coffee shops were, like, attracting a lot of people, and they would sit and talk about the new ideas. And a lot of these ideas were socialist, communist, whatever. They were very revolutionary. And at the same time, they're getting jacked up. So the question is, like, I mean, they're feeling good and excited, and it's like, it must be the ideas that we're discussing. Wow, these are incredible. We're going to have another French Revolution, and the heads will roll. This is wonderful. Oh, my God.
But Europeans were also drinking tea since the Crusades. So that's
a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
But not as much so. I mean, certainly, even black tea is half.
And I wonder if people were also being affected.
I'm sure they were.
You know, making them go on Crusades.
Well, I mean, they brought it back from the Crusades.
That's why there were like seven of them. The Pope kept drinking his fucking tea. Like, this stuff is great. Everybody should die.
Do you guys have a point that you reach in coffee drinking where not only does it not affect you anymore, but it has a negative effect?
Caffeine? I feel like I'm vibrating from the inside,
yeah.
And like the world is like slightly off kilter, or I should say my relationship to the world is slightly off kilter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel fucking psychotic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You feel kind of like a crazy
person. I can't concentrate.
Everything is horrible.
And for me, it's like I have a large coffee on the way to work, and then on some days I feel so good for my large coffee that I'm like, I should have more coffee. And then I get about a halfway through a mug and I'm like, why did I do that? And then, I mean, there is a very fine line, I find, for most people.
But, you know, there's also, they've recently discovered, like they always recently discover, that coffee is a superfood. And I've heard interviews and you have to have like 6 cups of coffee or something, or
it's
more.
Like a homework assignment.
It's like, and they're talking to the researcher. They're like, "Do you drink this much?" He's like, "Oh yeah." And it's like,
see, I've often wondered about that because
I would be dead.
I feel like everybody works with a person who is going back and forth to the coffee machine all day, and they just keep mug after mug after mug after mug.
And are they
who
even
are
keeled?
These people?
I know. I see those people, and I'm like, I can't even imagine them without the coffee. Like, they must not be able to wake up then, like, ever.
Well, and a cup of coffee, though, is, what, 6-8 ounces? It's not, like, it's not the venti, it's not the large Dunkin' Donuts. Like, a cup of coffee is actually much smaller than you think it is.
But still, okay, so let's say it's 8 ounces. I think a large Dunkin' is, like, 16.
I think that's too small.
So that's a pint, then.
Yeah,
we're all holding.
Okay, so then a large may be like 20 ounces. But what I'm saying is that's like 2 or 3 mugs. And then, but then there are people who will drink like 6, 7, 8 mugs of coffee a day.
And they are the healthiest people alive now. And they get so much shit done.
Well, what is their tipping point?
It's probably they're shitting so much.
Yeah, they might just murder us all.
Yeah.
If they could get off the damn can, they'd kill us all.
That's the unfortunate part about coffee is, like, if I want to, like, weigh myself, like, I want to weigh myself in the morning, I'm going to, reveal too much about myself after I take a poo. Which is the problem is, that's the best time to weigh yourself, in the morning after you take a poo. But then the problem is, then I have my cup of coffee, and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to poo. And then, but then it's just like, but now I can't weigh myself because there's coffee in my tummy.
This sounds like a real bitch.
Problem. But how many ounces is it? Is it one cup of coffee in your tummy?
I usually drink about 12 ounces of coffee. Well, maybe a little more.
Assuming it's mostly water, a pint's a pound around, so I don't know, subtract.
I guess
I've got some good news and some bad news.
Yes.
We are drinking the coffee cocktail tonight.
Hey, coffee! But wait!
Please don't taste like coffee.
And the bad news is that there is no coffee in the coffee cocktail.
Yay!
Did you and me and Kevin do this one?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you've done it before. And I remember it was a banner one because there's a whole egg in it. And you love whole eggs in your drinks.
There's a whole egg in it?
Rachel. Like a breakfast drink.
Yeah, it really does look like a breakfast drink. It really does look like a creamy coffee, but...
Yeah, but it's better because it's got booze.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Coffee from the color?
Yes. That's what they think, yes.
Is it meant to be drunk in the morning?
Like all...
Well, maybe everything.
but more so than others.
No, not specifically, no.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting this instead of my mimosa or my whatever.
No, it's a brandy port drink.
Interesting. Okay, so like a post dinner.
And you can look like you're drinking coffee.
Yeah.
There's some appeal there.
Oh, this drink sounds weird. I don't know about all this.
Really? Because you love port and you love brandy.
Oh, goodness.
I got two more. Hold up a second.
Oh, wow.
Look at these little bastards.
I think this looks like it needs some biscotti next to it.
It really does.
Yeah.
I can see that. Although this is yet another sort of Nesquik-looking drink, isn't it?
It is. And the last time we had a Nesquik-looking drink, it was a real trickster.
Was it the last one, the Chatham Hotel Special?
Which was also one that had port and brandy, right?
Okay, so that one should be a little darker. I've made two for you. The recipe called for, I put an ounce of brandy and an egg, and I shook the hell out of it. The whole egg. Not just the yolk, not just the white, the whole egg. And then I put a teaspoon of sugar and 2 ounces of ruby port in that one. In the other one, I put 3 ounces of ruby port. All right, so it's going to be a ruby port drink. But, like they said, I can imagine drinking this when I'm hungover with brunch, no doubt about it. But I got to be honest with you. It's good. It's cold. The egg doesn't bother me at all. It actually makes it... The egg yolk gives it more of a... Egg white tends to fluff a drink. Egg yolk tends to sort of texturize it in more like a velvet, sort of a smooth. And so the combination is actually wonderful. And you rarely see both used. It's usually one or the other. So to have a whole egg in there, I think it gives it a ton of body, a ton of lift. And again, it's going to give it a nice, more of a smoother texture as opposed to just a creamy texture. Honestly, I'd probably do a shot of tequila and chase it with that.
Only when I'm hungover.
God, I'm gonna barf.
Is he saying it's not strong enough?
So one is actually noticeably redder.
Yes.
Yeah. It's,
oh yeah.
You know what it looks like? It looks like Nesquik and Nesquik strawberry.
Yeah, you got a point. It smells like pork.
It smells, yeah, a little fruity. I'm getting chocolate, but I think it's just because the color.
Yeah, your mind is tricking you.
So, pork, egg, brandy.
Sugar.
It really has a milkshake consistency. Yummy.
Oh, Rachel, I think you should go first.
God, I'm gonna vomit.
Yeah, it's like a pork milkshake.
Yeah, I'm on board.
She says with a kind of concerned face.
I'm writing down the recipe of this one. This is an easy one to make, too.
Well, you gotta shake the shit out of it.
Yeah, come on. Oh, no, Ray.
Rachel's rejecting the coffee.
Here, this
it's
one.
It's the texture.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah.
It's very noggy.
I like...
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't like eggnog either for the same reason.
I like the one with less port in it better. The brandy makes it taste more nutty.
Yeah, may I have a less port version?
Here, this is less port.
Cool port version.
You just took an unnecessary
right.
sip.
Oh, yeah.
You're totally right.
I know this one.
Oh, really? Yeah, because these two are really ready.
Where's the... Because the port brings it...
Where's the what?
That's a less port.
Yeah,
but the brandy makes it more milkshakey, nutty, almost vanilla-y.
Yeah.
I like the more port, actually. It's like, it's almost more bitter somehow. I don't know.
Oh, I like the less. I like them both, but I like the less port better.
Said Bethany for the first time ever, right?
Gold star. Gold banner day.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the with less port, it's too... I can't pick out anything in it. It just is sort of Nesquik-y.
It's a fascinating little mixture.
It's a weird little drink.
Yeah.
Much like the last drink we did.
Who's drinking this?
Not me.
Sorry.
I can see where it got its namesake. It's a lot like a latte.
It's a latte.
Oh
my god.
Well, but so what is the from approximately what era is this?
Century.
Okay, so probably not a lot of lattes hanging around.
Yeah. Oh, espresso? That was totally a thing.
As a coffee hater, I don't know the history.
Yeah. Espresso.
I love steamed
milk.
It's all about the texture for you.
It's not all about the texture, but I really like it.
It is. It's very milky.
It is if you let it, you know. Yeah, it definitely is. And if you let it like sit on your tongue, it's just very enveloping.
Yeah, I mean, the texture is nice. It's one of those things that is interesting because as it sits here in front of me, having just been poured, it's pretty delicious. But if I serve this at a party and somebody like stashed it in a weird place that I didn't clean up, it's going to be real gnarly the next day.
I wonder what would happen if you poured it on a hot frying pan.
Yeah. Pancakes. You could mix it into like pancake batter. That'd actually be pretty good.
It would be a brandy omelet.
That's like totally something grandma would make.
Well, Nicole's parents for years have put
amaretto
in their
waffles. Not eggs, but waffles.
Or pancakes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a terrible idea.
It just adds like an almondy, nice, it's good.
And calms the kids down.
Yeah, I mean, your mom always has amaretto on hand, right?
Yeah, but it's basically the only alcohol she'll drink, actually.
It is delicious.
So let's move these, I guess, away from Rachel.
Yeah.
Leave one for
you guys have fun. Hooray.
Wait, you like the ruby one. Drink the ruby one.
All right.
Yeah.
So Rachel is now surfing the web.
Well, she's
no,
the last
I just
one.
Made a gift of Cam.
What? Oh, there you go.
Okay, so.
I like this one.
You like this one?
It is nice.
Okay.
So, should we wrap this up then? I'm
going to make a brewery / bakery and call it Yeast.
Yeast Confection.
Remember when we were driving home for my birthday party and we were talking about that in the car?
And the Uber driver was like,
what?
What?
Did you say yeast infection or yeast confection?
Confection. It's with an E.
And we also,
donut shop / beer bar.
Like he said, like, oh, are you in distress?
And it would be just like your current job because you work all day, every day.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the consensus on the coffee cocktail?
I quite like it. I prefer the less port to the more port. I think it has a lovely texture and flavor, and it's very simple to make. I mean, I would make this. I mean, this is a very easy drink to make, you know, for an evening and after dinner kind of drink. I like it.
It's sort of like if you ordered a latte but without the espresso. I think some places call those steamers, and then added brandy.
That's pretty accurate. And I think really the best thing about this is that it doesn't taste like coffee. And The texture is nice. It's really creamy. It's not super sweet, which is also nice. So yeah, I think it fits really nicely at the end of a meal where a coffee would otherwise. And since coffee's awful, this is this is obviously way better. So yeah, I like it. I think the more poured is nice. It's a little bit of bitter to make it stand out a little bit, but that's just my preference. Yeah.
It tastes good, but it makes me want to barf.
It tastes good, but what? Wait, so you like the taste, you just don't like the
texture
yeah. And the mouthfeel?
The mouthfeel. It's too velvety creamy. It makes me want to gag. It makes me...
You want to upset?
Yeah. It gives me the little gags. It tastes good.
Have other drinks? Well, we've never had another drink with a full egg in it.
How about the a la Magoozla? That was gooey.
Yeah, we've had other textural drinks.
This is different. I don't know why. It makes the back of my throat like... I'm making a jellyfish motion. I don't know.
It makes the back of your throat.
Yeah, it makes it unhappy. I don't know what it is. This is a cocktail that's great for other people, but not for me. Listeners will probably enjoy it.
It's a little desserty.
But the extra port makes it less so, I think.
Port is a dessert drink, bro.
No shit, but...
You fucked
but
up.
But it overcomes the I mean, because there is sugar in it, right?
Yeah,
so the more port overcomes that a little bit.
I got a lot more... I did get more acidity with the port.
Yeah.
And that probably brightened it up for you.
Yeah. See, she says the things that I say, but they just sound bad.
I don't know about your police work there, Luke.
Okay, with that, we're going to wander out. So come to blackliverproject.com. Look at all the cool pictures. Look at us. We are so beautiful. We are beautiful people.
We are so awesome.
Go to Monster in a Glass at iTunes and subscribe and rate us extremely well and... Follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you're in Chicago, come here and drink cocktails with us. So until next time, go ahead and think and drink. Okay, bye now.
Whoa, I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes. And my baby tells me, honey, cut it out, 'cause she's familiar with the band before the break. But she's in this runaway with me, and by God, we're 250. You guys know where this is going, I can tell. Coming around that hairpin turn, top of Wolf Creek. Okay. Now I'll call Ali, 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 oxen free. Trying to drag God out from his hiding place. Either he can't hear what I'm saying, or he just got sick of playing. Either way, I've been calling out like this for days. And the cadence and the chords are all the same. Sung like an anthem from a child in the street. And you know he ain't much for singing, but by God he's good at swinging.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Monster in a Glass podcast. I'd like to thank Jason Cruz for researching our content, our regular tasting team, Rachel Rubin, Kevin Rutajczyk, Bethany Lang, and Nicole Pizzini, for joining me in the grueling task of tasting the cocktails we discuss, the Brixton and their bartender, Michael Donnelly, for letting us cavort in their liquid playground, Dan Cruz for art direction and editing, and Mark Piani for the music at the head of the show. Go to blackliverproject.com to see the show archive, become a member, contribute to the project, and get in touch with us. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest news and as-it-happens updates during live events. And as always, if you're into thinking and drinking, let us blacken your liver. Just what comes out most naturally. Al may warn me, kid, you're running in the ground. Keep on saying all the same things the same way. But I ain't trying to make friends. I'm just trying to make this story end. And if you're drinking, then you don't got time to bleed. And that's why I'm singing, how? How long? How long must I wait? I'm singing, how? How long? How long will this whole thing take? 'Cause every day it's getting tougher to shoot straight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much.